Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find at the upper part of Daf Chof Zayin, 7 lines from the top. The Mishnah opens up with reference to the word simla that is found in the pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chav Beis, pasuk Gimel, and it says there, "V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoyroi, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlaso." The pasuk is coming on the heels of the requirement of returning a lost item. Thusly shall you do to a lost donkey, a lost garment, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedas achicha asher tovad mimenu matzasa. And so too you shall do with regard to all lost items. Lo suchal esalein, you cannot avoid it or hide yourself from the obligation of returning. So now we turn to the Mishnah itself. Af hasimla hoisa b'chlau kol elu. The simla featured in the pasuk was part of the general category of all the other lost items. V'lomo yotzas, why did the pasuk feature simla by itself as a specific item? The Gemara later will ask what is meant by the phrase here in the Mishnah of Bechlau Kol Elu, but in the meantime, we're asking what is unique about Simla. What is the reason that the Torah specified Simla, a garment? Lahakish Elo Lo Marloch, to compare other cases to it and teach me. Ma Simla Miuchedes Shiesh Bo Simonim V'yesh Lo Toivim. Just like the simla has the unique feature of having identification signs on it, and it is something that's owned, something that is yesh lo tovim, that people are seeking their return, to the exclusion of something that you know is unowned, renounced, the owner has given up hope on. Af kol davar shiyesh bo simon v'yesh lo toivim chayav lachris. So too, any item that has identification marks and is owned, someone is claiming it, an item like that, you have to announce its finding. The Gemara asks, "My bechlal kol elu." The Mishnah opened up by saying that the simla was included in all these. What do you mean by included in all these? Oma Rava. Rava explains it's included bichlal, it's included in the phrase kol avedas achicha. The pasuk that we read used that phrase. V'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedas achicha. So the Mishnah had reason to ask that once you tell me that you're supposed to return any lost item, what was the reason the pasuk had to specify simla? And we were told the answer, that the rules of returning the lost items depend on the presence of simonim and claimers. Omar Rava, lomali the kasav rachmona. Here, the Rava asks, what is the reason for the specification of the items mentioned in those psukim in Dvarim, Perek, Chof Beis? You find in psukim Aleph through Gimel items that are specified. as our title or no say that you can see in the margin, the title topic heading reads, we've written on the side of the Gemara, Shor, Chamor, Se, Vesimla, these different items that were mentioned in the Psukim, Lomali, what was the purpose of specifying them? Once again, when you have a general phrase, Kol Aveda Sechicha, I would assume these are included. What's the purpose? What do we learn from each one of these specifications? And by the way, if you want to make reference to these psukim, we've included them on our previous Omid Chof Vav, Omid Beis in the margin. So we go back to our Gemara, where Rava asks, Loma li dekosav rachmona shor chamor se v'simla tzrichi. We answer, the e trichi means we need to have them specified. The e kosav rachmona simla, had the Torah written just simla, have amino, hani mili be'edim degufa v'simonim degufa, that an item is returned only if you have witnesses that say this item belongs to so and so, or you have signs in identification marks in the garment itself. Havol chamor be'edim de'ukov v'simonim de'ukov emo lo mahadrina lei. However, if I would have, let us say, witnesses that say that the ukov, the saddle on this particular donkey, we know that so and so owns that saddle, or someone comes forth and gives you simonim, identification marks regarding the saddle on a particular donkey, that with that, either edim or simonim on the ukaf, I wouldn't return the donkey that is wearing this saddle to its owner. Kosav rachmona chamor, the Torah therefore writes chamor in these psukim, the afilu chamor besimone ha'ukaf, to tell me that even if one offers as identification of ownership of the donkey identification marks or signs that he has regarding the saddle, that is enough. And if you can identify through offering simonim, offering signs that you have on the saddle, you'll get back the donkey with the saddle. Shor v'sed kosav rachmona lomali. What is the purpose of writing those animals in the psukim? Answer: Shor dafilu legizas znovo. Rashi says, Legiza Zanovo, Shafilu Seor Shebesof Azonov Yachzir, that even the hair that is shorn from the end of its tail is something that needs to be returned. If you find hairs at the, we'll say, ox hairs that were cut from the end of its tail, that is something that needs to be returned to its owner. V'seh, the Torah writes seh, l'gizoysov, the shearings, that you're obligated to return wool shearings. The Gemara asks, do you really need to have both of these creatures listed? V'lichtoiv rachmona shor, the afilu l'gizaz novel, let the Torah write shor, which would tell me that even the shearings of tail hairs have to be returned. V'kol shekein seh l'gizoysov, and certainly the full shearings of a sheep would have to be returned. What was then the purpose of telling me seh? Elo omar rova, chamor debor l'rebuta. The word chamor appears in the Torah in the context of the pit, a pit that damages. Someone digs a hole, a pit in the ground, and the Torah speaks about there falls into it a shor or chamor. The word chamor, according to Rabbi Huda's approach to the rules of bor, seems to be extraneous. In this shiur, we're not going to get into the details. Rashi gives you some background, and of course, it's discussed at much greater length in Maseches Bava Kamma. For our purposes, let it suffice for us to say that as far as Rabbi Huda's approach to the rules of bor, the Torah, the chamor appearance in the Torah is unaccounted for. V'seh de'aveda l'divrei hakol kasha. And in our topic, the word seh of the topic of aveda, our topic, according to all opinions, is difficult to account for. Just to repeat, if you're telling me that shor informs us that tail hairs have to be returned, then it's obvious that a full sheep shearing would have to be returned. Therefore, the seh word in the Torah seems to be extraneous. Question. V'eimo liglolim hu da'asa. Maybe seh tells me that even the feces released by the animal have to be returned to its owner. The Gemara responds, there is no mitzvah of returning feces to its owner. Glolim afkuri mafkir lehu. A person renounces ownership of his animal's feces. If anyone, the owner figures, if anyone wants to trouble themselves to collect my animal's feces, then good luck to them. I, as the owner, am not interested in recovering them. Question. V'dilma l'simonim hu da'asa. The Gemara asks, maybe the word seh is informing me that you return an item with a owner offering signs, even if he doesn't have witnesses that can testify he owns the item. The issue of the strength of simonim, is it a Torah strength item or a only rabbinic, which by the way is a topic that we've discussed earlier in this Masechta, in the first parak. Why not suggest that seh comes to tell me that simonim is a means of return? Now, this is the main question. The next couple lines you can see we have in brackets, and we have a little starred note on the side that reads, Matras HaSograyim, the purpose of these brackets, Laharois, is to show the Ad Kan Histayim Ikur HaSheva, that up till this point, the main question has finished, has been raised. Besoch HaSograyim Nimso HaReka LaHatsuras HaGemara. Within the brackets, the Gemara gives us the background for having raised this possibility. So, the Gemara continues, now we'll read within the brackets. The Ibayalon, it's a question that has arisen to us. Simonim Doraisa Odurabonon. The power of return of an item based on someone offering identification marks, is that a Torah level return or only a rabbinic level return? In other words, your gaining of ownership of the item through offering simonim for its return grants you ownership of the item on a merely rabbinic level. And there are practical nafkaminis, practical halachic ramifications of this issue being analyzed. For our purposes, we'll just leave that aside for now, but it has been an issue that's raised. And why couldn't we say, Kosav Rachmona said, that the Torah writes over here, the word said, afilu b'simonim mahadrinan, b'simonim d'oraisa, that even with simonim, namely, when we say even with simonim, means even if you don't have witnesses, even simonim alone is enough mahadrinan to have the item returned. And we would conclude that issue, the question raised, that simonim are d'oraisa. The Gemara answers that the suggestion that says to teach me simonim is not so. Amri, we answer. And note we have a long answer marking. Midikotoni luhu tano l'simonim gabi simla. From the fact that the Tana makes reference to simonim in the context of simla. You might use little star on the side of the Gemara text to navigate upwards to the corresponding star, and you can see that at that point in the Mishnah, reference was made to simonim, where the Mishnah said mas simlam yuchedes sheyesh ba simonim. So you see that the Tana made reference to simonim in the context of simla, which also was a word appearing in the Torah. So since that's the case, we recommend just skipping initially the brackets here for a moment, and you see the Gemara picks up and says, Shma mino dese lav l'simonim hu da'asa. From the fact that the Torah makes, the Mishnah makes reference to simonim in the context of simla, it must be then that se is not there for simonim purposes. Let's go over the bracketed section. It's simply a quote from the Mishnah. And we read already, Midiktoni luhu tana l'simonim gabi simla, from the fact that the Tana made reference to simonim in the context of simla of the Torah. Tikotoni ma simla miuchedes shiyesh bod simonim v'yesh lo toivim chayov l'achriz. We've dashed underlined the words simla and simonim so that you associate simonim with simla. And just like simla has signs, identification marks in it, it's a garment, and it also is something that's owned, and you have to announce its finding. Af kol dover sheyesh bo simonim v'yesh lo toivim chayov l'achriz. So from the fact that simonim in the Tana's mind was associated with simla, shma mino the set lav l'simonim hu da'asa. This shows us that the word, the se word in the Torah, is not for simonim purposes. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have our topic heading, the nose, which reads machlokes tanoim. We'll have a Tanaic disagreement. What is the source in the Torah that a lost item, in order to obligate me to return it, the item must be worth a minimum of a pruta? The pruta being the symbolic of the lowest form, the least amount of currency. The Gemara, following the Tanaic source that presents the Machlokes Tanoim for regarding that point, that an Aveda has to have a Shove Pruta, you will notice diamonds that appear, and they are responses to the question, and we've written under our structural note, Deos Be'im Yesh Nafgamina, Be'ina Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda Be'inyan Hanal. Is there any halachic difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the first opinion, the Tanakama, regarding what each one uses as a source for this law? There are more markings that follow, and we'll try to make reference to them as we go on in the Gemara. In the meantime, our Gemara picks up, Tanu Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, once again, Vayikra Chof Beis Pasuk Gimel, Asher Tovad. The Pasuk says, V'chein ta'ase l'chamoro, v'chein ta'ase l'simlosu, v'chein ta'ase l'chol aveda sachicha, asher tovad, What is Asher Tovad? Tell me, Prat. La'aveda she'ein ba shava pruta. To the exclusion. In other words, there's no mitzvah of returning something that you wouldn't call a lost item. There are items that have so little significance that the Torah wouldn't expect you to return them. So, and in order for you to be obligated in the return of an item, it has to have a minimum of a pruta worth of value. So the Tanakhama learns that from Asher Tovad. Namely, the item has to be called a lost item. How do people view it? So if it doesn't have a shava pruta, it wouldn't even be termed something lost. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, in the, from the same pasuk, where it goes on to say, after Asher Tovah Bimenu, U-Mitzosa. So from the word U-Mitzosa, Rabbi Yehuda says, Prat Laveda Shein Ba Shove Pruta. So we have two Tanoim that agree on, with regard to the law, that if it doesn't have a Shove Pruta, you are not obligated to return it, but each one derives it from a different phrase. My Binayo, what is the difference between their approaches? Omar Abaye. Abaye says there is no difference per se. Mashmois dorshin iko binayu. From where do you derive that point? Is what they argue about. Mar nafka le measher toifat. Umar nafka le mio matzasa. The Tanakhama learns it from asher toifat. And Rebbeinu learns that if it doesn't have a shava pruta, you don't have to return it from that word umatzasa. But as far as a difference in halacha between these two opinions as a result of their deriving their respective the point from their respective sources, there's no difference between them. The Gemara now goes on to ask, what does each one do or derive from the other one's pasuk? Ulaman de nafka leg measher toivad, the Tanakhama, who learns the rule of shofet pruta from asher toivad, hai umotzosa mai ovid leg. What is the Tanakhama going to learn from umotzosa? Answer, ahu miboya leg. He needs it for the teaching of Rav Noi. The Yoma Rav Noi. The double underline that you see here highlights the opinions. What does each one do with the other one's source? So Rav Noi helps us in discovering what would the Tanakhama learn from Umatzasa. Umatzasa means da'asoi liyode mashma, that the rule of having to return a lost item applies only when you it applies when you get hold of it. But there's much more to that than what we said. So we look in Rashi. Da'asoi liyode mashma. Even if you've taken possession of it, in other words, you've picked up the lost item, the obligation of return applies to a fellow Jew, that you're returning it to a fellow Jew, and not if the owner is an idol worshiper. And this is telling us that if an idol worshiper loses an item, you're entitled to keep it. Velo tema, and do not say the following. Now, before we read on in the Rashi, we'll just emphasize that in Pasuk Gimel it said v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedas ochicha, your fellow Jew, to the exclusion of an idol worshiper. Well, what is the Torah telling me by achicha and umatzasa? V'lo tema, you should not think the following. Ki imut avedes kenaini Milutroch acharea imut. The Torah excludes the Canaanite idol worshiper from my need to trouble myself to pursue the lost item and take hold of it and return it. Avol I nokta, if, however, you picked up the idol-worshipping Canaanite's lost item, chayav lahadura, then you would be obligated, because you picked it up already. It's not a matter of you're going out of your way to retrieve it. So that point is what umatsoso excludes. Namely, that the rule of returning, or the obligation of returning lost items, applies only to a fellow Jew, to the exclusion of a Canaanite idol worshiper, even under circumstances that you've already taken hold of it. So that's what Rav Noy is telling us. And that is what the Tanna Kamma will derive from Umatsasa. The Gemara continues, Ulaman denafka le Umatsasa me Umatsasa, Rebbe Yehuda, who learned the rule of Shavu Pruta from Umatsasa. Hai asher toivad mai ovid le. What does Rebbe Yehuda do with what the Tanna Kamma offered as a source for Shavu Pruta, namely asher toivad? Answer, miboya le lich Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Yehuda, the Tanna, uses Asher Tevad for that which Rabbi Yochanan teaches. Yomar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. There are other Gersos that have Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Tzadik here, as was seen on Daf Chof Beis. Minayin Laveda Sheshotfa Nohar Shehi Mutaris. From where do we know that a lost item swept away by the river? In other words, you found a lost item, let us say in the current of a river, that you can keep it. From where do we know that? Shinemar kein taseh l'chol lavedas achicha asher toivad mimenu umatsasa. Now you see in this pasuk we have asher tovad, and what we learn from this is mi shavuda heimenu umetsuya etzel kolodom. When is there an obligation of returning something? That which is lost from the owner himself, but is available, is found by everyone else. Yotzazu, to the exclusion of an item swept away by the river's current, she'avuda heimeno v'eino mitsuya eitzel ka'odom. It's lost to the owner, and it's not found by others either. Now, what have we done so far? We've accounted for what each one, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma, do with each other's source. However, there are more questions to ask. Ve'ida hada Rav Noi minole, Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn the Rav Noi teaching that we mentioned above? Notice we had double underlined his name so that you can spot it quickly. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn Rav Noi's teaching from? After all, the Tanna Kamma used Rabbi Yehuda's word, umatsasa, for Rav Noi. Where does Rabbi Yehuda himself learn Rav Noi's teaching? Nafkole mi umatsasa, from the vav of that word. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the basic word matsasa tells me shava pruta, and the additional vav teaches me Rav Noi's point. The idach hadu Rabbi Yochanan ole, the Tanna Kamma, where does he learn Rabbi Yochanan's point that an item swept away by the river is something you, the finder, can keep? Nafkole mimenu. He learns it from the word mimenu, where only if it's lost to the owner but found by everyone else, so then you have to return it. But if not, if it's lost, considered not available by anyone else either, you can keep it. So The Tanakhama learns Rabbi Yochanan's point from that word, v'idach Rabbi Yehuda, mimenu lo mashmalei. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't see any significance in the word mimenu, certainly as far as teaching that point, and hence we've accounted for the two Tanoim, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, what each one does with each other's pasuk, and where does each one learn the additional laws, Rav Noi and Rabbi Yochanan, from. We have, for those who want to review this in a systematic fashion, we have a little chart that's included in the in the margin of our Gemara where the double-starred mark is, and you can keep track of what or where each opinion across the top of the chart. You see the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, where each one derived the particular points we just mentioned. As we go on in the Gemara, you see a diamond around Rava. What is the reason for the diamond here? Rava is an alternative to Abaye's response to the Gemara's question, Mai Binayu. When we looked at the Tanaic source, we discovered there was no halachic difference between the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and the opinion of the Tanakhama. And even as we went on in the Gemara, where does each one learn the other one's points from, they came out holding the same things. Rava, on the other hand, says there is a practical difference between the two opinions. However, in order to conclude what really is the difference between them, we have to go through a few stages of analysis. So before we get into the Gemara, just by way of introduction, we look at the side. We have an Osei, a topic heading, which reads, Bo'inon Shamatzia Tia Shava Pruta. We require that the found item has a Shava Pruta worth of value. Of course, that's a point we mentioned before. And the Mivneh, the structural note, highlights the triangles. Iko binayu, the phrase Iko binayu is highlighted in the triangle. Iko means there is a difference between them. Literally, Iko, there is, binayu, between them. A reference to the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda above. And our note says, Chipus achar nafkamina bein Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda aliba de Rava. The search to find what is that difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda according to Rava. So now we go back to the Gemara. Bear in mind that we're going through stages. What we learn initially is not the final word. So Rava says, Pruto shehuzla ik binayu. An item that at the time you found it was worth a shava pruta, but as time went on, it became worth less. So are you obligated in returning such an item? When you found it, it was worth a shava pruta. But as time went on, it cheapened, huzla, it became worth less. Maybe you're familiar with the word zoil, cheap. Ika binayo is a point of difference. Man d'omar shetoivad, the opinion that learned shava pruta from asher toivad, the Tanakhama. Ika, there is an obligation, because you can see in the pasuk asher toivad, at the point that it was lost, it was worth a shava pruta. Uman d'omar umotzasa, Rabbi Yehuda, who learned the shava pruta word, the rule from umotzasa, it was no longer worth a shava pruta when you found it. So, leka, there would be no obligation to return it. Question, ulamando mashir toivad, according to the Tanakhama, who learns from mashir toivad, ha'bohinu masasa, do we not require a shava pruta at the time of finding the leka, and that, in this case, is lacking? So why, according to the Tanakhama, would you suggest that you are obligated, but when you found it, it was no longer worth a shava pruta? So that is not going to be our acceptable case. In other words, just like Rabbi Yehuda will say you don't have to return it the Tanakhama will have to agree you don't return it. So what's the difference between them? Ela pruta shehukra ikabinayu. The case at the time of loss, it was not worth a shava pruta, but at the time you found it, it was. Hukra means it became worth more. That would be ikabinayu, the point of difference. Man diomar umatsasa ika, Rebuta, who learned the rule of shava pruta from umatsasa, says, well, at the time you found it, it's worth a shava pruta, so you have to return it, even though at the time of loss it wasn't. Uman de Omar de Tanakamu said, Asher Toivan, Leko. Tanakama said that it would have to be worth a shava pruta at the time of loss, and it wasn't. So you would not have to return it, even though now that at the point you found it, it is worth a shava pruta. Question. Uman de Omar Motsasa, according to Rabbi Huda, who says that in such a case that it's worth at the time of finding, but not at the time of loss, a shava pruta, ha'bohinon asher tovan v'leko, does he not require the need for shava pruta value at the time of loss as well? And it doesn't, that's not the case here. So just like the Tanakhama says you're not obligated, Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree that pruta hushahukra, also you would not be obligated. So there's no difference between them. Where is there a difference? Ela pruta, it was worth a pruta at the time of loss. Shehuzla, in the interim, it went down. It became worth less than a shava pruta. V'chozra v'hukra, and at the time you found it, it became worth, once again, a shava pruta. So that at both ends, it was worth a shava pruta. In the interim, though, it was not. Iko pinayu. This will be an item, a case, where there's a difference between the opinions. Man diomar shetoivat, iko. According to the Tanakhama, you would have to return this item. Uman domar umatsasa, but Rabbi Yehuda, who learned the rule of shava pruta from umatsasa, bo'inon the isba shiur mitzia mishas aveda viad shas mitzia. The Torah, in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, requires a constant value of a shava pruta regarding the item. And if in the interim there was a drop in value, you would not be obligated to return it. In our margin, we have a topic heading and also an indication, Ad Chof Ches Amud Aleph, that the discussion continues quite a while until Chof Ches Amud Aleph, Simonim Doraisa Derabonim. We made reference to this above in the bracketed section when we were discussing what is the point of se in the Torah. We raised the issue, the return of an item to someone offering identification marks as a sign of his ownership, is that return a return on a with Torah strength behind it, or only a rabbinic concession that we make, enabling people to regain ownership through simonim? And now the Gemara. Ibai Alaho, the question is asked. Simonim d'oraisa oi d'rabbonim. Mai nafka mina. The Gemara asks, what practical difference is there whether you categorize simonim, strength of return, based on signs, based on identification marks, as d'oraisa or d'rabbonim? After all, the item, we know, bottom line, items are returned. Does it make a difference whether you say it's d'oraisa or d'rabbonim? The Gemara answers, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis. If you're asking what difference is there, the difference will manifest itself in the following. Laduri get isha b'simonim. Literally, to return a divorce document to an agent who's in the middle of conveying a get, a divorce document to a woman. An agent was charged with transporting a get from a husband to the wife, and in the course of his journey, the agent lost the get and was able to offer simonim to gain its return. He could identify the get or something about it without getting into details, but he can offer simonim. I amris doiraisa madrinon. If you say that the power of return through offering simonim is a Torah-sanctioned idea, you would return it to the agent. V'i amris d'rabbanan, and if you say that it shows ownership or possession only on a rabbinic level, ki ovid rabbanan takanta b'mamona, the rabbanan enact their rule of return in the realm of financial matters. In the realm of financial matters, the rabbis have, we'll say, exclusive powers. There's a rule, and Rashi makes reference to it, called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. That which the Beis Din declares as unowned by A, now owned by B, is a power that the Rabbanan have. And as far as the source for that, that's mentioned in another place in the Shas. But that's a power the Rabbanan have, and it's limited to the realm of Mominus. Aval be'isura, but in non-financial areas, in ritual law, lo avud rabbanan takanta. The rabbanan don't make enactments. And when we speak about a woman being either married or divorced, a woman that we know to have been married, and now you are going to release her with a get to marry someone else, that can take place only if you're dealing with the return of the get to the agent on a Torah level. But if the return of lost items to owners is only rabbinic, that would have no relevance, and we wouldn't return the get, the lost get, to the agent who is offering simonim. So there you've got a practical difference. Now the question is, once again, is simonim doraisa or derabbanan? On the side of our Gemara, under our Mivne, our structural note, we have triangles in two different directions, and we indicate Haychachos L'Shtei Efshorios. These are proofs that along the way will be brought, and some L'Shtei Efshorios. Let's continue our note, Be'inyan Simonim D'Raisa D'Rabbanan. With the triangle point facing up, that will be an attempt on the part of the Gemara to say it's D'Raisa. The inverted triangle, when it appears, would be an attempt on the part of the Gemara to say it is only the Rabbanan. We mentioned earlier, and we'll mention again, this discussion continues down through the rest of this Omid, and we continue on to Chav Ches Omid Aleph as well. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Af HaSimla Hoysu B'chlal Kol Eile, the Lama Yotzas, Simla was included in the category of all other lost items. And you notice that this quote is probably familiar as it was referenced in the Mishnah. So just like Simla was included in all, as part of all other lost items, the Lama Yotzas, why was it singled out by the Pasuk? Lahakish Eleo Velomar Loch, to compare all other lost items to it. And tell me, Ma Simlum Yuchidis Yesh Lo Simonim V'yesh Lo Toivin Chayav Lahachriz. A garment has identification marks in it. It's something that's owned. Someone is seeking it out. You have to announce its finding. Af kol davar sheyesh lo simonim v'yesh lo tovim chayav lahachriz. So to all other items that have identification marks in them and have people claiming ownership of them, items like that, you have to announce. So what do you see from here? What do you see from our Mishnah? You see that simonim are doraisa, because simonim are learned from the pasuk of Simla, which is in the Torah. The Gemara rejects this. Tana tovim itzdirichalei v'simanim kedin aspa. I find this a very surprising answer, but the Gemara has the power to say that. And it says that the Tana points out that Simla is written in the Torah to tell me the rule of tovim, that to the exclusion of things that are renounced, that are hefker, or things that an owner has been misiyayesh, has surrendered hope from ever seeing again, those kind of things you don't have to return, but items that are still being sought out, you have to return. That is what we learn from Simla. The Mishnah's reference to Simonim, Kedi Nasva, was, Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Beloi Mikra. It's not derived from the Pasuk. Elas Mechinu Akro Me'amo. It's a rabbinic reference that they decided to associate with the Pasuk, but not that the Pasuk is the real source for Simonim. The word Kedi, you find throughout the Shas, often having the connotation of zero or for nothing, and Rashi simply clarified that the pasuk itself is not it doesn't come to serve as the source for simonim, and that the Tana mentioned it only like by the way, or he mentioned it for nothing. In what sense for nothing? For nothing as being sourced by the pasuk. So, you cannot say at this point that Simonim is Doraisa and derived from Simla. Toshma. So we try to bring a proof from the following. Chamor b'simone ukef. Chamor in the Pasuk tells me that a donkey can be returned by the owner offering identification marks on its saddle. So you see that Simonim is a means of return based on the Torah, so it's Doraisa. The Gemara rejects this. Emo be'ede ukaf. The word chamor teaches me that if witnesses tell me that the saddle belongs to so-and-so, we will return the donkey wearing that saddle as well. Rashi on the second narrow line says, Emo be'ede ukaf. What Chamor teaches me is im yesh edim. If there are witnesses, hamakir b'tvius ayin la'ukov. Tvius ayin is an expression meaning recognition without specific simonim. We recognize that as so and so. Shehu shelo, that it belongs to so and so. Machzir lo as a chamor, will return the donkey as well. So with this, once again, we don't have any Torah source for return based on signs. Toshma. We quote the following. And the item will be with you until the owner seeks it out. That, of course, was from the psukim that we've read before. That was specifically our pasuk beis in Dvorim Perek Chav Beis. And the question is, what's the purpose of this pasuk? V'chital al daitcha shi'itnenu lo koyim shidrashenu. The pasuk says, you shall have the lost item by you until the owner seeks it out. Would you have thought that you're going to give it to him before he seeks it out? Of course not. What does adrosh achicha also really mean? Elo Darshehu im ramai hu oy eino ramai. Investigate whether the one seeking it out is a trickster, a ramai, someone who is fiendish, underhanded, or not so. Now, how do you check? How do you establish reliability of the one seeking it out? My love, b'simonim. Is it not so that you would establish whether he's a trickster or not through simonim, through his being able to offer identification marks? Lo, be'edim. Edim would come forth and say that the item is his. So we don't have any source from the Torah that simonim is a means of return. And now we have an inverted triangle, Toshma. And the inverted triangle will show us that simonim is rabbinic. Now this source deals with a person who died and he was married to a woman, and we're interested in, let's say, testifying that the dead man was in fact this woman's husband. With information that the dead man is this woman's husband, she'll be able to remarry. So it says in this source, Ein me'idim ela al partzif aponim imachoitim. Testimony is not accepted unless they can testify about the person's face, forehead, together with his nose. In other words, you would need them to say, we saw him, in other words, we saw his face, including his nose, and that is her husband. Afalpi sheyesh simonim begufo bekelov. Even though, in other words, without parts of punim, the face, with including the nose, without that, we will not accept testimony. Even though there are signs, as other body signs, and in his goof, with his body, kelov means his clothing. Shmamino simonim lav doraisa. So we see from here that simonim is not sufficient. So it's not sufficient to enable her to remarry as a widow. So what do we see? That simonim is not a Torah level entity. The Gemara rejects this and says that the reference to the guf and kelim in the context of simonim is not the kind of simonim that would be accurate or specific enough to begin with. Amri gufo, the simonim that we're rejecting is the oruch v'gutz, where the witness would say the dead man was long, was tall, or gutz was short. Kalov, the kind of simon that we're saying doesn't constitute a simon is with regard to clothing. Why not? Even if they can give very specific identification marks regarding the clothing that would tell us it was so-and-so's clothing, why can the woman not remarry? Do note, by the way, there's a little one that we have over here regarding Kalov. Later we'll have another reference to this. Why is simonim on Kalov not enough? The chayshinon l'sheila, where choshesh, we suspect that her husband had loaned his clothing to someone else, and that someone else died while wearing her husband's clothing. So that even if you're going to give signs, and very careful signs regarding the clothing, that would show us that it was her husband's clothing, it doesn't mean that the dead man was her husband. Her husband might be alive and well, and the dead man had borrowed her husband's clothing. So simonim, like oruch v'gutz in his body, the tall man, we saw a tall man dead or a short man dead, that doesn't show us that the dead man was her husband. There are a lot of tall men. There are a lot of short men around. But if some more specific kind of simon would have been given, maybe that would have been enough to enable her to remarry. So at this point, we don't know what is the strength of simonim. All we said is that a very general type of sign doesn't even constitute a simon. As Rashi says, he says in another context, he says, Ein ze, actually Rashi says on under the Dibur Masa Doruch, it's Shein ze simon. It doesn't even qualify as a simon, as an identification mark. The concept of an identification mark is something that would help us to establish identity and thereby exclude everyone else. That's not so if you're speaking about the dead man being tall or short. The Gemara on this last point of Chayshil Shela raises a question. You'll notice we have a house marking around I Chayshil Shela. There'll be another question based on that a little later. I just want to point out that we mentioned Kalov as being insufficient, even if you offer signs, if the witness offers signs regarding the clothing and our identifying the husband that way, it's not reliable because of the concern, maybe he loaned it. There's another approach regarding Kalov. If you just drop down a couple lines, why is Kalov not sufficient? Because number two, you can see Iboy Sema Kalov b'chivri v'subasumki, where the witness who reported the death said that the dead man was wearing clothing that were white or red. And as we said before, regarding Gufo, Aruch and Gutz, this too is not even a simon. Lots of people have chivri, white clothing. Lots of people have red clothing. So that is what would be insufficient. Now, we mentioned that we have a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a subtopic and a structural note, Mivnet. The house highlights She'elois be'inyani chayshishin l'she'ela. Questions regarding this idea that we suspect maybe something was borrowed. If we really suspect that, Yehei Yefshir Lechiach Bailus Al Chafetz Al Pi Simonim, it would then be impossible to establish ownership of an item through signs. Now, the Gemara. We just had mentioned that you cannot establish widowhood based on testimony concerning the dead man's kalov because the dead man may have not been her husband because her husband had loaned his vestments to someone else. Well, I chayshin l'sheila, if that is a real suspicion in our minds, chamor b'simoni ukavhechi madrinan. How is it that we return donkeys to owners based on saddle identification? Maybe the saddle was borrowed by someone else, and the saddle, it's a borrowed saddle on someone else's donkey. So if you're going to return the donkey to the owner of the saddle because he offered identification marks in the saddle, you might be giving him someone else's donkey, namely someone else who borrowed your saddle. The Gemara says, Amri lo mashili inshi uchfa. The possibility of borrowing a saddle, people loaning saddles to others, doesn't exist. Mishum demiskeva. The miskav le lechamra, a saddle that is not, it will say a borrowed saddle will end up irritating or scratching, irritating the back of someone else's donkey. A saddle has a tendency to take on the form, the specific form of the original donkey. Hence, no one is going to want to borrow someone else's saddle. It'll end up maskiv later, scratch, end up scratching, irritating his donkey. So a donkey wearing a saddle and someone identifies the saddle, that it, the donkey that is wearing it is definitely associated with the owner of that saddle. Iboy Seymo, Kalov b'chivri u'besumki. Another approach to the source above where Kalev doesn't serve as a sign of the woman becoming a widow through identifying the dead man's Kalev is because all that was said about the dead man's clothing is b'shivri u'b'simki. The dead man was wearing white clothing. It's true that this woman's husband may have had white clothing, but many other people have white clothing as well. And b'simki, red. So color identification of clothing does not establish doesn't establish specific identity of her husband. We ask another Chayshim L'Sheila question. Elaha Desanya. Regarding a get, we mentioned before an agent charged with delivering a get. Motzoi Koshu B'Kiso B'Arniki U'B'Tabas. The get was found tied in a pouch or a wallet or in a ring. Oshe Motzoi Ben Kalev Afilu Uzman Meruba. Or it was found amongst his vessels, even after lying there for a long time. Kosher. The get can be returned to the agent who was charged with conveying it. There's a Rashi that clarifies this case. A number of lines up, you can see Motzai Kosher Bekis Shaloy Obarnegi. Shliach HaMevi get, an agent charged with conveying a divorce document to a woman. V'yavad HaMenu, and it got lost. L'acharzman motzoi kosher b'kis shaloi oibarniki. And after a while, the agent found the get tied into his pouch or wallet. The agent can continue with that get and bring it to the woman. And there's no suspicion that maybe it's a get that belongs to another man divorcing his wife, someone else, his own wife. The Isaka Daita Chashinun L'Sheila, if we do consider that, namely the suspicion that it's borrowed, that people borrow other people's items, Kimatsai Kosher Bekis Amai Kosher. If the agent finds a get tied into his pouch, what right does the agent have to continue with that get? Nechush l'sheila. Maybe the agent loaned his pouch to someone else, and that someone else tied his get into it. And the get is not the get that this agent was charged with conveying. The Gemara responds, Amri, we answer. And here the answer will apply to each one of the items mentioned in the source, where the get was still kosher. Kis v'arniki v'tabas lo mashali inchi. The items in which the get was found, namely the pouch, the wallet, and the ring, people don't loan those to others. Kis v'arniki mishum de misamni. People would not loan their pouches nor wallets because it's bad luck. Rashi says in people's minds, people who loan their wallets to others, it's as if they're selling their mazel, their good fortune to others. So there's no grounds for suspecting Chayshin L'Sheila in these specific cases of Kis V'Arniki. The tabas and a ring, the ring spoken of here is a signet ring. It's a very, we'll say, private or personal matter. Mishum de Mizayef. You sign your documents indicating, let's say, official status of all kinds of different documents based on your signet ring. If you were to loan that to someone else, you're exposing yourself to his forging it. And, of course, no one would want that to happen, so people would not loan their rings to others. So as far as the answer we gave to Kalov before of Chayshino L'Sheila, that is a real concern. So Chayshino L'Sheila, we suspect it would be loaned. That the fact that we are Chosha Sheila does not pose any problems for the issues raised above. The idea of returning donkeys through Simone Ukov, or agents continuing their mission of conveying the get that they recovered by identifying their kiss Arnik Yir Tabas. Leimo Kitanoi. Shall we say that the issue of Simonim Deraisa Derabonan is a Machlokes Tanoim? On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which we indicate Hemshech, meaning the continuation. Leimo Simonim Deraisa Derabonan Have Kitanoi. Shall we say that it is an issue that's the subject of a machlokas tanoim? The Gemara, in its standard fashion, will present a Tanaic source and suggest, as we would call in our Gemara, stage one, that that point is the basis of the Tanaic controversy. However, as we go along in the Gemara, and you can see the Gemara is marked with bow tie shapes, and on the side of the Gemara we have as our Nosei / Mivneh heading. These are four Hezberim Machlokes Tanoim I Meidim Al Hashuma Shalmeis. The Tanaic source that's presented deals with, once again, enabling a woman to remarry now as a widow by testimony concerning a wart found on the deceased. The first stage of the Gemara is to point out that the issue between the two opinions in the source is based on the issue of how do you look at Simonim? Is it Doraisa or Dorabonan? However, as we go on in the Gemara, stage 2 and 3 and 4, you notice we have bow ties and squiggle underlines highlighting the expressions Iboya Seimo after stage 2, where we say everyone holds Simonim Doraisa. So the Gemara will have to then give an alternative explanation as to what they are arguing about concerning the issue of the wart. Then there's another alternative given. And as you continue with the bow tie shapes that you see, you will notice that we're explaining at each point what the Machlokes Tanoim is regarding the issue of the wart. Now the Gemara. Leimo Ketanoi. We're on the first wide line. Shall we say that the Machlokes of the issue, I should say, of Doraisa Derabonan, Simonim, is it Doraisa Derabonan, is a Machlokes Tanoim? The source says, Ein Me'idin Al Hashuma. In order to establish the death of a woman's husband, we will not accept testimony concerning the wart. In other words, if witnesses say that we saw the dead man with a wart on a specific limb, we're not going to rely on that as a means of identifying the dead man as her husband. Namely, her husband also happened to have a wart on that particular limb. This information is not going to establish the dead man as being her husband. Ve'lozer ben Mavoy Yoimer Me'idim Al Hashuma. And he says that we'll accept that testimony, and she will be able to remarry. And the issue of releasing a woman from a marital state to widowhood, and hence being able to remarry, is a Torah level concern. We're not dealing here with financial matters. We're dealing with a Torah status. A married woman is prohibited, even if she doesn't know where her husband is, she's prohibited to marry someone else. If we're freeing her, we're changing her Torah status. And the opinion of Elozer ben Mavoy seems to be that we rely on the testimony concerning the Shuma. So, my love, Behal Kamifli, is it not so that they are arguing as follows. The Tanakama Sovar Simonim de Rabbanan. The Tanakama says we can't rely on that because all that that constitutes is the offering of a sign, and that only has rabbinic strength. We can't release a woman from her Torah status of married woman to widowhood based on something that's only rabbinic. And Velozer ben Mavoy Sovar Simonim de Raisa. That the Torah itself provides for identification and establishing of facts based on simonim, identification marks. Omar Rava. So Rava says, as far as your suggestion that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, in this source, not so. De kule amo. Everyone, meaning the Yavta Tanakama, who said Amin al Shuma, Elzer ben Avoy, who says Minim al Shuma, both agree, Simonim de Oraisa. That in general, Simonim function on a Torah level. If that's the case, why does the Tanakama say we do not identify the dead man based on the Shuma, based on the wart report? The Hacha B'shuma Mitsuya B'ben Giloi Komifligi. The term Ben Gilo, Rashi says, Hanoilid B'shaita Shenoldu B'mazel Echad. The time of birth of an individual is associated with a particular mazel. The word mazel is, I find it hard to translate that word, but I think most of our listeners understand that there is this concept of mazel. In secular terms, people will associate mazel with the horoscope. That issue is way beyond the scope of Gemara markings. Daf Yomi Shiurim. Suffice it to say, though, that the time of a person's birth associates him with a particular force called the mazel. The issue here concerning the wart is people born at that time, is there a likelihood that they will have similar, we'll call, say, body characteristics? And that is the point of difference. More so far, the Tanakama, who said, we do not rely on Shuma testimony, Shuma Mitsuya Beben Gilo. Warts on specific limbs are commonly found amongst other people born at the same time that this woman's husband was born. So if you're going to say that the dead man had a particular wart, it doesn't mean it's her husband. It might have been someone else born at the same time, and that's the dead man. Umor Sovar, Elozer ben Mavoy, holds Shuma Eino Mitsuya Beben Gilo. Warts are not something that you would expect to be found by on someone else that happened to be born at the same time as this man. So that if this woman's husband happened to have a particular wart and the testimony comes in saying that we saw the dead man with the wart, we'll assume it's her husband and not someone else born under the same mazel. He boy esemo de kuleyamo shumo eino mitzuyah beben gilo. Another approach to explaining the machlokes tanoim is that everyone actually agrees that the shuma is uncommon by someone else of the same mazel. Well, if it's uncommon, why does the Tanakama not rely on it? The hocha b'simonim asim l'shtanos l'achar miso komiflegi. The issue here is, do warts undergo change after death? First, we'll take a look at Rashi. B'simona mo'asuyin v'chulei, Rashi, right across from here, im asuyin l'shtanois, oy enon asuyin l'shtanois, they argue concerning this matter. Do warts change in appearance after death? Im b'chayav hoysa shumo shchira. If when a person is alive, he happens to have a black wart. But moisoi nasis levono. Upon death, it will turn pale. Oe bohur, the other way around. When alive, he happens to have a pale toned wart. upon death it would darken in color. Does that is that something to be anticipated or factored in? So that if you have a woman whose husband, let us say, while alive and married to her, he happened to have a dark-colored wart. And now testimony comes in saying that we saw a dead man with a dark-colored wart on a particular limb. Does that indicate that that's her husband? Well, more so far, Simonim, the Tanakhama holds that Simonim, or the Simonim, the signs, in particular, there's another girsa, by the way, that says Shumo Asui Lishtanos. So the Simonim referred to here is the wart. The Tanakhama holds that Simonim Asui Lishtanos Lahamisa. Wart colors actually change. So that if her husband, when alive, had a dark colored wart, that wart is not really going to be expected to be dark colored after his death. It would turn pale. So testimony concerning the dead man having a dark-colored wart would not be conclusive evidence that that's her husband. Umor sofar, Rabbi Elozer ben Mavoy holds, Simone may not sing Lishtanos Lacharmisa. They're not expected to change. So that if her husband happened to have a dark-colored wart on a particular limb, and testimony concerns the dead man having that as well, that then could serve as evidence that her husband is dead. That's her, that in other words, that the dead man is her husband. He boy is same all the kule amo shumo eno asulish tamas lachemisa. Vesimonim de rabbonon. Now here you can see we've used a double underline to highlight the contrast between the opinion mentioned above. And they all agree that simonim are of rabbinic strength. So, if that's the case, if a simon is not going to change, however, if the shuma the wart is not going to change, but the identification is only rabbinic in strength, we certainly can understand the Tanakhama in saying Ein Me'idin Al Shuma. I can't use something that, although it may be reliable in the sense that it doesn't change, however, it's only rabbinic in strength. So the Tanakhama, I can understand Ein Me'idin Al Shuma. What about Elozer ben Mavoy? So V'hocha B'Shuma Simen Muvaku Kamifligi. The wart serving as a sign, maybe it's considered a simen mufok, an expert, literally an expert sign, a very specific, very unique kind of sign. And this concept of simen mufok we have discussed earlier in our Masechta, back on daf Yud Ches Omid Beis, regarding the get with a hole in it next to a particular letter. Simen Mufok, establishing ownership based on the offering of a very specific, unique kind of sign. This will be their point of disagreement. Let's read that phrase again. V'ocha b'shuma simen mufok hu komifliki. How do we classify the shuma, the wart, as a sign? Is it a simen mufok? If it's a simen mufok, then even according to the opinion that says in general simonim adarabonan, a simen mufok will have the status of something you can rely on midoraisa. Mor sovar shuma simen mufok hu. Elozer ben Mavoy holds that the shuma, the wart, is in fact that high level type sign. Umor sovar the Tanakhama, who says ein me'idin al shuma, Shuma lav simen muvaku. Shuma does not constitute a simen muvak. As we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears, this triangle shape, and you can see it appears on the side under our Mivne heading, two gishos shel Rava, two approaches taken by Rava, b'simonim deraisa derabbanan. So you notice the first approach over here, and the second, you'll notice four lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph. Omar Rava, im timtzalomar simonim lav deoraisa. If you are to take that approach, that simonim do not establish, let's say, facts or ownership on a Torah level. Hechi mehadrinon avedisa b'simonim. How then do we return lost articles by someone offering identification marks? As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a triangle with a darkened tip in it on the side. We indicate these are two svaros, ech machzirin aveda al pi simonim im einom doraisa. If, in fact, simonim are not doraisa, how is it that I'm giving an item back to so-and-so? We need an explanation for that. After all, maybe it's someone else's item and I'm giving it to this guy offering simonim. If you say that simonim are daraisa, so that's the will of Hashem, that's the Torah's will. You regain ownership through offering simonim, and that's the end of the story. However, if you say not so, what would have motivated the rabbis to institute such behavior, such procedure of returning items based on offering of identification signs? So we go through the Gemara. We go back to the text. The Nichole Lamotze, and we just, again, I have to remind you, we're going through stages in order to explain this point. So this is the first stage. The Nichole Lamotze Aveda, it's pleasant. It's to the liking of one who finds a lost item, tenahader b'simonim, that he'll return it. He'll in effect part with that which he found, give it to the one offering signs. Why is he, the finder, happy with this arrangement? Ki hechi dechi avdo le'ledidei nami nehadru le b'simonim, so that if it should arise in the future that he should lose something of his own, he will be able to regain it by offering simonim. So, just to repeat, the finder is happy to part with it because someone is offering him signs. Why is he happy with that arrangement? Because in the future, if he, the finder, loses something, he'll be able to get back his own item by offering simonim. Omar le Rav Safra le Rava. So Rav Safra turns to Rava, who just offered this explanation, and Rav Safra asks, "V'chiyada moise toiva la'atzmoi b'mamon sheno shelo?" Do people do themselves favors through items that are not theirs? You've got this guy that found something, it's not his, and he's going to give it away because someone offers simonim so that he can benefit sometime in the future. That's called being oisetev latzmi, you're doing yourself a favor through someone else's goods. So that doesn't make sense, doesn't sit well with us. Ela nichole lebala veda. It's actually to the liking of the owner of the lost item. Lemeav simonim ulemishkale, to offer signs, identification marks, and recover his item. Why is that the case? Why is he happy with that arrangement? May de yoda. He knows the Adim Lesle. I don't have witnesses that could say that item is mine. Umeymar Omar, and he figures to himself, Kule Almo Loyadi Simonim Muvhokim Dido. no one else knows the specific signs. And I'll offer fine, accurate signs and get it back. Tosfos, by the way, points out that the use of the word muvhokim here is not like muvhok before. Tosfos says, lo muvhokin ma, the last Tosfos says, lo muvhokin mamish komar, elo muvhokim siman chaveru. Means muvhok means accurate, more accurate than someone else would be able to offer. And the reason for this comment is that if it were literally a totally specific, expert, focused, defined simon, then that would work to establish ownership even on a Torah level, as we said before. So the term simone muvok means simply signs that are better than anyone else would be able to give. The diamond that you see now introduces what we've noted on the side, Kushos al Hashlav Hasheni. We just finished explaining why, if Simonim Adurabonon, we return things based on that. Well, we have a question here, and at the top of Daf Chof Chesam and Aleph, you'll notice our second diamond. So we continue in the Gemara. We have seen this before, back on Daf Chof, in the toward the end of the first perek. Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us, Echad haloive mishloisha yachsir laloive. If you find bills of collection, loan documents, one Loive's name appears in three different loan documents. Namely, one Loive who borrowed from three different people. We give those three documents to the Loive, to the borrower, and he's thereby relieved from having to pay up the debt. We give the loan document to the borrower, basically indicating to us that the loan has been paid up and those three lenders are not going to be able to collect from him. However, if you find three different loan documents, three different lenders' names, three different borrowers' names, who all borrowed from one lender, we give the three loan documents to the lender. Now we've dashed underlined Yachsir Lamalve. What happens when you give three loan documents to the lender? He is going to be able to then collect those debts. Now, using the logic that we saw just before this, we continue in the Gemara with a tone of wonderment. Are you going to say that it is to the approval of the borrower, la dure le la malva, that it should be given back to the lender? We explained before that the idea of returning items through simonim is because it's with the approval of the one that lost it. Now, if the borrowers lost these loan documents, namely if they had already paid up their debts, would they want it to be given to the lender? Omar Lay. So he answers, Hossam Savorahu. The source in which Rav Shimon Leo pointed out the two examples, Aleph and Beis, that we noted above, that is governed by a svara. It's governed by logic. And in that case, when you have the phenomenon of three different people's names appearing in three different documents, and on the other hand, one person's name appeared in all three of those documents. So then, in a case like that, the issue of happiness, approval of the one that lost it, is of no concern. That svara falls away, because here we have a stronger consideration, and it's as follows. Echad haloive mishloisha, the Aleph case of Shmuel Leo, of one borrower's name appears in three documents, consistently in three documents, with three different lenders. Yachsir loloif, we're going to give it back to the borrower, the govi, the gabi loive shrichi, gabi mavalo shrichi, shma mina miloive nofel, to have three different lenders' names and one borrower's name, it's shachiach, it's common to find three documents with the same borrower's name in them by the borrower. It must have fallen from him. That's shma mina miloive nofel. It must have fallen from him. What would three different lenders' names in three different documents be doing by one of those lenders? It must have fallen from the borrower. It is his name that appears in all three documents. And likewise, shloisha shelavu me'echod, three different borrowers appearing in three documents with the same lender, yachzor lamalve, give it back to that lender. The gabi malve shchichi, gabi loive lo shchichi. It's most likely to have fallen from the malve. He lent to three different people. These are loan documents that have not been paid up yet. Give it back to him so that he can collect his loans from the three different borrowers. So, as far as the svara of that we had in our second triangle with the colored tip, that nichole lebala veda mev simonim, that svara still stands. As far as this specific case featured by Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, we said there's an overriding concern. We can or overriding sign of ownership. We continue at the top of Dav Chof Ches. Eloha disnan, motza tachrich shel shtoros o aguda shel shtoros, harei ze yachzir. If you find a roll or bundle of loan documents, if the lender can give a sign, then we will give these loan documents to the lender. Hachi nami de nichole laloive ladure le lamalve. Would you use that svara we gave before, that the borrower? And here you don't have the issue before of three different names. It's a roll of loan documents with the same lender and the same borrower. And if the lender can give a sign that they belong to him, we'll give it to him. We'll give it to the lender, and he'll now collect those loans from that borrower. Are you going to say that the borrower is happy with our giving it to the lender? As far as this borrower is concerned, as Rashi says, he'd be happier if it stayed in the hands of the one who found them forever, instead of giving them to the lender. Elo Omar Rova. Notice we have, this is a second stage of Rava. We had indicated the first appearance of Rava with our triangle, the lower part of Omid Aleph. So as a result of this, Rava says, Simonim Ardo Raisa, Dichtiv, Vahoya, and this drasha we saw before, Vahoya Imcho Adroi Shochicha Oisoi, the Pasuk says that the lost item, and here we'll give the literal translation of the pasuk, the lost item will remain by you until the owner seeks it out. Do I need the pasuk to tell me that? Would it occur to anyone to give it to someone before the owner seeks it out? So what is the pasuk telling us? Ela darsheut im ramai hu oyeno ramai. Investigate whether the one seeking it out is a thief, is a trickster, or an honest guy. And how do you seek? How do you investigate that? Lav besimonim. Is it not so that you establish reliability, honesty based on his offering signs? Shma mino. So this shows you that simonim are doraisa. After all, we just demonstrated that it's based on a pasuk in the Torah. And now the Gemara continues with a seemingly surprising continuation. Omar Rava, im timsalomar simonim doraisa. If you say that simonim are doraisa, and to this the Gemara reacts with a tone of wonderment. You'll notice that we have a couple of lines in brackets. The reason for that will become quite clear as we go through the Gemara. However, in the final analysis, the purpose of these brackets is really for, we'll say, initial skipping, to appreciate what Rava is saying at this point, even though that which he said doesn't seem to flow from that which we just got finished learning. What happens after the brackets is, namely, if you hold that simonim are doraisa, what happens if two parties both offer simonim? And you can see that is highlighted with the first of our double underlines, simonim v'simonim. If that happens, yaniach. And then we continue with other, we'll say, points of contest, simonim versus edim. And as we go through, there are numerous examples of this, as you can see, are highlighted with the double underline that unfold. On the side of the Gemara, we have under our nosei / mivne heading, dugmois, example, shivayim shnayim boyim, kol echad b'tayna shezeh shalo. Two are coming, each one with his claim that the item belongs to him. And we'll see what each one is offering as support to their respective claims. However, we go back to the Gemara, and we said that something is odd about the flow. The line we had just read, that where Rava says, "Im tim salomar simonim deraisa," if you say that simonim are deraisa, but didn't Rava just state conclusively, four lines from the top, that simonim are deraisa? So let's now read the section in the brackets. Im tintzalomar, if you say ha poshit le simonim deraisa, but he just concluded from the pasuk adrosha chichoisoi that simonim are deraisa. What is there to waver on or express any hesitation by saying im tintzalomar? So the Gemara says there is reason to waver or to express some reservation. Mishum diika lemeimar kiddushaninon. Because there is still room to reject the proof that simonim are deraisa based on hadrosh hachicha, as we have said earlier. Back on Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, we have a little arrow. You can use it to navigate back to Chof Zayin Amud Beis in the upper quarter of the page. We said that hadrosh hachicha can mean witnesses, that you can establish honesty of the person seeking out the item by witnesses coming and testifying that the item belongs to him, but not by his offering simonim. Oh, so then if that's what Adro Shochicha tells us, then simonim themselves are not doraisa. The clarification of whether he's a Rama or not is through testimony of witnesses, not through his offering signs. Oh, well, then, if that's the case, there's still room to, to debate the topic, and hence Rava opens up this section by saying, Im tintzalomar simonim deraisa. if you say that simonim are d'oraisa, then what happens in the following? Simonim v'simonim. If two parties come and argue, each one offering simonim, yaniach, then leave it in the possession of the finder. Do not, you don't give it to either party. Simonim v'edim. One offers simonim, and the offer other has witnesses saying that he is the owner of it. He not saying labal ho'edim. Then you give it to the one who brings witnesses. Rashi earlier points out that there's a chiddush here, namely, even if you say that simonim are d'oraisa, nevertheless, witnesses are a stronger form of identity. Namely, their testimony will identify him as the owner, the one concerning whom they testify. We continue. Simonim v'simonim v'edechot. One offers identification marks, and the other also offers identification marks, plus a singular witness to testify that it's his. The Gemara says, Eid echot keman delese domi v'yaniach. In financial matters, a single witness is as if he is not there, non-existent. It's true that concerning certain areas where it comes to different claims, a singular witness has some power of imposing an oath, but that's not the case over here, and hence, to establish facts or reality, a singular witness is non-existent. We say, Al-Pishnayim Eidim O'Shlosh Eidim Yokum Dover. You need to have a minimum of two witnesses. A singular witness is as if he's not there. So it has the same, we have the same situation then as before, and Yoniach, it's left until Leo Hanovi comes to tell us who the owner is. Eidei Arigo v'Eidei Nefila. Here you have one party bringing witnesses that Mr. One wove the item, made it, and the other party has witnesses saying that it fell from him. Tinosein le'edei nefila. We give the item to the one who has witnesses that say it, that it fell from him. Diamrinon, we say, as far as the one that wove it, that made it, Zevuni Zavna, he actually, yes, he made it. He has witnesses that he made it, but he sold it to someone. Umi'in and Shachrinan, often from someone else it fell, from the guy that bought it or someone else down the line, it fell. So the fact that one party has witnesses that say that he made it does not establish ownership of it. Midas Orkoi, Umidas Rochboi. For illustration purposes, let us suggest the following. We're discussing a type of garment. I would call it a wraparound. I think that in certain societies, possibly in India, you find people wearing garments like this. It's a long piece of fabric. So it has a measure of length to it. And it's wrapped around the individual's body, and that piece of fabric also has a width measure to it. The width of the fabric is represented by the person's height. As we are trying to illustrate, it's a very long piece of fabric that's wrapped around the one wearing it. So now we have one person identifying the article of clothing by its length, and the other party identifying the lost article of clothing by its width. Tinosein lemidas orkoi. We will give it to the one who can testify or who can identify its length, can describe in the dimensions its length. Why? The midas rochboy shiurei kamishayer lo kad michsi lo moro v'koi. The width of that garment can be estimated by someone who's not even the owner of it. Someone else who noticed the owner wearing it sometime in the past, he can estimate the width of the garment while the real owner was wearing it. Only the real owner would know its length, and of course in this scenario. Umidas orkoi lo mishtayer le, lo. The length of the garment, that's not something that that someone else could have estimated. Midas orko, midas rochbo. One party offers specific dimensions of width and length, and the other party offers umidas gomov. Gomov is a term that would refer to the area measure. Yinosei lemidas orkoi verochbo will prefer, will give the item to the one who gives those two dimensions, the length dimension and width dimension, over the one who gives the area dimension. Midas orkoi umidas rochboi. One gives dimensions of the item, its length and width, and the other party gives the weight, umidas mishkaloisov. Hinosein lamidas mishkaloisov. You would prefer giving it to the one that knows the weight of it. That's a more, let's say, specific, limited type of that represents more limited information that only the real owner would know, so that if you have these two parties, it's more likely that the one who's giving the weight measure is the owner. And now we have a couple of cases where we have a man and a woman concerning matters of divorce, of a get, that come into play. And that these cases you can see are introduced by the bow tie marking. Hu oimer simone haget, vi oimeres simone haget. A man gives identification marks concerning a divorce document, claiming, I wrote up the get, but I decided not to divorce her, and it fell from me. And she says, oh, he gave me the get, he divorced me. And these are the signs of the get. Inosein law. We will give it to her. In other words, both he and she are giving identification marks of that same get. Who is the more likely owner of it? So we say we're going to give it to her. Well, b'mai, what identification marks are they giving? Ilema b'midas Orkoi v'rochboi. If she is saying the length and width of the document, Dilma Bahadi Dinokit le Chazise, maybe only while he was holding it, she happened to see it and was thereby able to offer those dimensions, but that doesn't indicate she received it. He was holding it, she saw it, and he decided not to give it to her. Ela Nekev yesh bo betzad ois ploni. Rather, what she is saying is that there is a hole by a particular letter in the get. Now, how would she know that? She would know that only if he had actually given her the get. And therefore, when she offers that as the simen, she gets it. Even if he happened to say there's nekev yesh bo tzados plenty, she would have no way of knowing it unless he actually gave it to her. Hu omer simone hachut. He offers as a sign of the get belonging to him and his not having divorced her, a sign or identification concerning the string in which the get was tied. Viomera Simone Hachut. And she says Simone Chut. Inosein law, we give it to the woman. Pemai, through what? Simen. Hilemo bechivro v'sumko. If it's by her saying it's white or it's red, that doesn't indicate she received the get. V'dilma b'hade denokit le chazise. Maybe while the husband was still holding the get, she happened to see the string and its color. So what is it here in Simone Achut that enables her to receive it? Elo b'midas orkai. She's telling us the length of the string that had been used to tie up the get. How would she know the length of that string? Must be that she received it and then untied the string, and that's how she knows its length. Hu omer b'chafisa v'omeres b'chafisa. He says that the get was in my chafisa. It's a type of vessel. And she says that the get is in the chafisa. And they both offer, I would say, identification of the vessel in which the get was found. Hinosei lo, the husband retains the get. My time, why don't we give it to her? Because Meida Yoda, she knows the Cholmadi Islay, that everything of importance that her husband has, Bechafisahu the Monachle, he stores it in the Chafisa. So she will say she knew even before she got the get that he would store the get in the Chafisa. There's no indication by her telling us that the get was found in the Chafisa that she had received the get. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.